You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Why will the armies of the world be crazy enough, insane enough, prideful enough, overconfident enough to fight against Jesus, the creator of the world, when he returns? Now, when we open our Bibles, we read about Armageddon, but it seems no one asks this crucial question. When the creator and king of the universe appears in the sky, isn't that enough for the armies of the world to just lay down their arms and surrender? Obviously not. They fight the battle. So they are no longer acting like rational human beings at that point. What happens between now and then to cause them to make such a fatal mistake? This is Bible teacher Nelson Walters, and the book of Revelation gives us clues as to what happens to the people of the world to make them think that they can beat their creator in open conflict. Revelation means revealing, after all. It's the primary book to look at for things like this. And this isn't the only crazy thing that the people of the world do in the end times. Look at what it says after the sixth trumpet, and this will help us explain why they fight against Jesus. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries, and this happens to be that word pharmakia, so it means drug use, or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Revelation 9, 18 through 21. So look at this picture. Fire and brimstone falls on the earth as a part of the wrath of God from an angelic army of 200 million who pour this out on the world. Sulfur burns, you know, at 5,000 to 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit and turns even limestone into ash. It kills everyone in its path. This passage in Revelation tells us that a full third of the earth's population at that time is killed by this action, like maybe 2 billion. And yet, no one repents. No one gives up their idols or murders or immorality after that. That certainly isn't very rational. Now, earlier that same year, at the sixth seal, these people actually see Jesus coming on the clouds. In Revelation 6:16, they called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him." Notice, they see Jesus' face at that point, who sits on the throne and from the wrath of a lamb. So they have known it is Jesus. They have known it is God's wrath being poured out. For instance, in the next verse, they say, "Their wrath has come or begun." The wrath of a triune God. So these people know all these things, yet they do not repent, either at the sixth seal or at any of the trumpet judgments. You would think that a wiping out of a third of the earth's population would make anyone sit up and take notice, but they don't. So obviously, whatever has hardened the hearts of these people to fight against Jesus happened earlier than Armageddon, all the way back at the sixth seal, and during the time of the trumpets and later the bowls. These people's hearts and minds were hardened against their creator. So what caused this? Well, sin has this sort of effect, even in today's world. Romans 1:28 tells us God gives up or surrenders those sinners who won't acknowledge him to a depraved mind, a mind that doesn't work correctly. However, even a depraved mind would allow some people to repent, but they don't, according to the Bible. That's because things are different in the end times. During the tribulation or 70th week of Daniel, than they are now. Things are going to change. One part of that difference is they have the physical Antichrist in their sight. And we don't have that right now. The people of the earth will see him do miracles. They will see him win wars that he shouldn't have been able to win. They even see him apparently rise from the dead. And for that, they will worship him. In Matthew 24:24, we read, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." So he'll do all sorts of miracles that will fool people. In fact, it's going to fool everyone except the elect. And in Revelation 13:4, we read, "They worship the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast and who can fight against it?'" He's going to look unbeatable. And in Revelation 13:5, one of his heads seemed to have had a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And for all these reasons, miraculous signs, miraculous victories, and an apparent resurrection, the unrepentant of the world will believe Antichrist when he sits in the temple of God and declares he is God. So, you know, he's going to do God-like things. He's going to be their hero, solving worldwide problems of war, famine, and disease. So when Jesus comes to fight Armageddon, the earth dwellers are going to think, maybe the Antichrist is a worthy opponent. He's won before. Maybe he'll be able to beat Jesus. And another big reason that they're going to trust the Antichrist as a worthy opponent for Jesus is that the Antichrist kills the two witnesses who have plagued the earth dwellers for the entire second half of the tribulation with all sorts of plagues. When the Antichrist kills the two witnesses, the people of the world are going to rejoice and give each other gifts. It's a big celebration. Prior to that, anytime someone tried to kill them, fire came out of the mouths of the witnesses and killed the attacker. So obviously, everyone is very impressed when the Antichrist can do this. If he can kill these supernaturally powered witnesses, again, people are going to be thinking, maybe, just maybe, he can defeat Jesus. The third reason is that the people who take the mark of the beast will likely be altered in some way, probably genetically, and they will be empowered by this. In those days, people will seek death and not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. At the fifth trumpet, people will be stung for 150 days by demon locusts whose sting will be like a scorpion, but they will not be able to die. But why is that? Why don't angels die? Likely because they have a genetic code that doesn't permit them to die. Will this same code be given to earth dwellers? Based on this passage from Revelation 9, it appears something like that will empower people not to die. We're not sure, but that seems the most likely path. People are going to learn this is not a good thing, though, because of the locusts. But it will embolden people to oppose Jesus when he returns. The Antichrist will lie to them, "You surely will not die," the same lie told Eve in the garden. And thus they'll be willing to go to Armageddon and fight Jesus, thinking they're invincible. Wait a minute, you might say. I thought the very next trumpet, the sixth trumpet, kills a third of the earth. You just told me that. Well, it does. The reason is that it's fire and sulfur, fire and brimstone, as it said in the old King James. There appears to be something special about this punishment that can kill angelic creatures or humans with the angelic DNA upgrade. Notice in Revelation 19:20, the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire full of fire and sulfur. Is the heat of this combination that does it? Well, I don't know. God doesn't explain it, but God's angels, Satan, and those with the mark are thrown there. So, wouldn't that be enough to convince people of the earth to back down when facing Jesus because he has this fire and sulfur at his disposal? Well, maybe it would be. It would be except for the fourth reason. probably the most important reason, the three frogs. Don't hear many teachings about the three frogs, do you? But on this channel, as you always tell us, you follow us because we go places that other scholars and Bible teachers just generally don't talk about. And today, we're talking about the three frogs. Look what Revelation 16, 13 through 14 says. For I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. They are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. So Satan needs something extra to convince the people and kings of the world to fight against Jesus. The Antichrist himself is not enough. Apparent immortality is not enough. Satan and the Antichrist need demon spirits to deceive the kings of the world. What does the symbol of a frog mean? Well, they come out of the mouths of the dragon, beast, and false prophet. They seem to issue forth from these three, and maybe they have something to do with words. Second, they're amphibians. Might that have something to do with fallen angels? Reptilian fallen angels. At least angels posing as reptilian aliens. We're going out on a limb on this one, but frogs is certainly a strange symbol. In the Bible, this is similar, as you realize, to the plague of frogs in the Exodus saga. It's really the only other place in the Bible where frogs are mentioned to any extent. In the Exodus, the frogs came out of the river and annoyed the Egyptians everywhere, in their houses, in their beds, etc. Is this a symbol of constant annoyance? Well, maybe it is. Whatever the symbol means, however, they deceive the kings into joining the Antichrist. And here is a clue to the end times, a really big one, a gigantic one that just about everyone misses. If the Antichrist commands most of the nations of the earth, if he's in charge, if everyone not written in the Book of Life worships the Antichrist, why can't he order the kings to do what he wants? Why does he have to use deceptive spirits? Something must have happened between the time that the Antichrist could have commanded them and the point where it's close to Armageddon. So this happens because after Jesus appears in the sky at the sixth seal, remember we talked about that, it is at that point the Antichrist's power is greatly diminished. And here's the point that almost no one studying scripture of the end times gets right. They think he commands power right up till the end, but he doesn't. His power is diminished. There are two things that Jesus does to the Antichrist, and they're mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then the lawless one will be revealed. That's the Antichrist. The Lord Jesus will destroy him with the breath of his mouth, that's how he kills him, and will bring him to nothing with the brightness of his coming. So there's a second thing, a very unusual thing. Now, you can't kill a person and bring him to nothing at the same time. You have to bring him to nothing first, and only then can you kill him. Once you kill him, you can't do any more to him. So there are two things in that passage, and this is one of the greatest misunderstandings of the end times, that there are two stages to the defeat of the Antichrist. One, when Jesus appears at the sixth seal, and the brightness of his coming brings the Antichrist's power to nothing. And then a second is what he does at Armageddon. With the breath of his mouth, he kills the Antichrist. So the first event happens earlier than Armageddon at the second coming, when Jesus first appears at the sixth seal. And that's the same event as Matthew 24:30. And at that point, the brightness of Jesus' coming, when every eye will see him, diminishes the Antichrist's power to almost nothing. That's why The Antichrist has to send evil spirits to convince the kings of the world to come to Armageddon. His power is mostly gone. He can't order them anymore. He has to deceive them. So deception by the three spirits like frogs is what finally gets the nations of the world to Armageddon. And once they get there, unfortunately, this is the fate of those armies of the world as detailed in Zechariah 14:12. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. So, obviously, they can't fight against the king of the universe. They were deceived. That's what gets them there and puts them in Armageddon. But, you know, it's a refusal to repent that really causes them to experience that last plague and their destruction when Jesus speaks the words over them and they rot, you know, while they're still standing. So there's a lesson in that for us about repentance. You know, repent now while we have the chance, because a day will come when you just don't have that chance.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.